Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following episode was recorded in front of a live streaming audience on Saturday, October 5th, 2024.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 67, The Lumber Millionaire's Will. Hello and welcome to the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Steven, and 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore.
In my best Jericho impression. Hi, guys.
Which Jericho are we talking about?
Chris Jericho on AEW. Okay. It's a new shtick he's got.
Oh, because the Teen Titans guy doesn't talk.
No, it would just be.
Yeah, that's not really good for audio.
No.
Teen Titans Jericho. Not much of a podcaster.
No, he'd be a tough guest. That'd be a rough one.
So I got a couple of dates to throw out at you. Okay. I don't know when this episode's going to go up. You and I talked about this before we started recording, and we want to get a number in the bank before we really start releasing them again. And we will be releasing them once every 2 weeks. But the last time we did one of these, well, the last time we released an episode was September the 18th, 2023. So it's been a year since a new episode went up. And even then, the last two episodes were technically I don't want to say they weren't official episodes, but they were just stuff that were, you know, like the Lost episode and the game that we played for Just Another Fanboy.
Right.
You know, it's once we realized that I wasn't going to be able to record, I wanted to still, you know, try to fill the time because I thought we'd be back much sooner and we just weren't. But the last time we got together live to record an episode was July the 28th. So it's been a while.
Yep.
It's been a while. It's nice though to get back to it that, you know, we can keep the show going. Cause after, I don't know, after 6 months when I still didn't have the time, I thought, oh man, I don't want the Superman Super Show just to go away. I don't want it to pod fade, but I think as long as I still have the desire and you still have the desire and the schedules are there, we're never going to go away.
Nope. My wife is my witness. Periodically, you know, while I'm in the midst of something else, I have lamented that I wished, you know, the show was still actively being done. So, yeah,
I was really happy with your response when I reached out to you on Twitter X. And said, hey, you want to come back and do some more Superman Super Show? And I didn't just get that's cool. That'd be cool. You know, of course, it's text based. But here's the reaction that I got was, yes, let's do some Superman Super Show. Let's go. You know? And I was like, all right. Ed seems excited.
That was pretty much it. Yeah, I've missed because, I mean, of course, I could have continued to read whatever. You know, there's nobody holding anything to my anything to make me do or not do. But with all the other things that I want to read, this just had fallen away. So I had missed reading this Golden Age stuff. And the reason I had been reading it was to prepare to talk about it on a podcast. And so without the one, the other just kind of fell away. And I would sit there and think, gosh, I sure. And it's like, well, why don't you just read a minute? Well, you know, gosh, I just wish. So, I'm glad it's back.
I am in the exact same boat. I didn't continue reading because, you know, I enjoy reading them. But yeah, we were reading them for the show and I would feel I'd feel like I was cheating on you if I was reading them by myself.
Yeah, that too, because if I had read these just 6 months ago and read them again, my thoughts would be completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Than they would have been 6 months ago when I read them for essentially the first time. So, yeah.
If there's anybody out there watching us live right now, or you go to the YouTube afterward and watch the live show, we are completely decked out in Superman today. You can't see us. There it is. There's Ed's shirt. Ed's got a really awesome This Is a Job for Superman shirt on. We both have our Superman hats on, and then we have our Superman background.
This one. I like this image of Superman here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a, what is that? Superman number 5?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any more bantering you want to do in our official banter segment?
It is worth saying, based on when we're recording this, that at this point, it's been a week, and I certainly hope everyone has had the opportunity to get back into a normal routine after the coming aground of Hurricane Helene. I know working 911, I was affected, not to the extent of, say, folks in Asheville, which, from what I hear, is like biblical. So I'm glad. I know that, for the most part, large portions of everyday life are back to normal for us here in southern West Virginia. Yeah. And I hope anyone listening has had the opportunity at this point to resume normal life as well.
Yeah. 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 I know that Florida and Georgia were hit pretty bad. Mother Nature does not mess around.
Well, one of the most really grounding, profound things that I saw were satellite images at night.
Yeah.
And you could see the huge path of no lights.
Oh, yeah.
From where the storm had come, and a half a day or three quarters of a day inland. And there were still no lights in this huge section of the eastern U.S., which is lit up like a candle. But yeah, I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. 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 I don't know that other than you. I don't think I know anybody off the top of my head. Well, our corporate headquarters, the company I work for, our corporate headquarters is in North Carolina, but yeah. I don't know how close to the coast they are.
What's the town?
I want to say outside Greensboro. I know that when I went to visit over a decade ago, I think I flew into Greensboro, Winston-Salem. That's where they're near.
That's closer to where our associate Chris Parton lives.
And oh, yeah.
I haven't heard bad stories from that part of the state.
So, yeah, I haven't either. And if there would have been, I would have heard them.
Sure.
You know, because we have a part of our manufacturing. Our main manufacturing plant is in Lawrence, Kansas, which is why I have the job that I have. But we do some manufacturing in Winston-Salem. And that's one of our distribution centers as well. So,
okay. Yeah. You definitely would have known supply chain issues.
Yeah.
I hate those words. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But it's one of those phrases that I hear every single week. Supply chain issues.
Yeah. It's gotten to be a overused catchphrase when actually they mean something else, but that's what they want to say.
Exactly. Yeah. Supply chain issues are when trucks break down or, you know, the manufacturing can't keep up with demand. It's not. Yeah. Let's not get into that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
All right. You ready to talk about this episode's issue?
Let's talk about a lumber millionaire. Yes.
So today we're looking at the Lumber Millionaire's Will, which is the Superman story that appeared in Action Comics number 33. It was written by Jerry Siegel with art by Jack Burnley. Action Comics number 33 has a cover date of February 1941, but according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, it has an approximate sale date of December 24th, 1940. And here's what happened in the episode. In the episode, in the issue. Indeed. Podcasters, comic book podcasters do that a lot.
All the time.
Yeah. Yep. A rich lumberman, Ken Hall, wills his money to a boys' summer camp. His brother, Brett, protests the will, but loses in court. When the boys' camp does not receive any money, the logging camp claims that a series of accidents have caused it to lose money, prompting Lois Lane and Clark Kent to investigate. At the logging camp, the boss, Francois Bernier, suspects the reporters of being sent to spy on him, so he orders them killed. Clark, as Superman rescues Lois from drowning in the river. Later, they are locked in a burning building. Clark hypnotizes Lois so that he can use his powers without Lois discovering his identity. Superman follows Bernier and his assistant Cliff to their boss, Brett Hall. Bernier was paid to cause trouble, which would enable Brett to buy the lumber company cheap. Hal kills Bernier and Cliff when Lois shows up alive. Superman intervenes in time to save Lois and stop Brett's plan. That synopsis, by the way, comes from Mike's Amazing World of Comics. Ed, what did you think?
I thought, first of all, that I didn't think Francois Bernier was a boss. I thought he was just a muscle.
Yeah, I think he was kind of a foreman, maybe.
Yeah, because the boss, maybe he was a foreman. Yeah, maybe he was. Okay, yeah. I liked the story. Now, I will say, you know, 3 or 4 or 8 episodes from now, maybe this story wouldn't have had the impact on me that it did, because it's been a little while since I've read one of these good old Superman Golden Age stories.
Yeah.
And so, like a lot of other things, the first usually feels differently than the 5th or the 28th or the, you know. So at this point, this was very, very entertaining. Any of the reoccurring tropes, perhaps, that we'll run into, this was the first time, so it's not a trope yet. You know, so there was a lot of that, what I recall, Golden Age, just goodness in the feeling from the writing and from the art and from the fact that it's Golden Age Superman. And I really enjoyed all of that.
I'm trying to, I'm over on my, on the Comixology website in my library, and I had it, the trade pulled up to the correct issue, and then suddenly I go to look at it again, and it's
okay. Well, I'll vamp here a moment. I did do a little bit of research to make sure, but for all those folks that are listening, this, of course, is a, what did you say, a 1943 book?
1940.
Yeah, that's something else that I wanted to note, is that this is, I believe, the last 1940 Superman story, and the next story we'll talk about will be 1941. So we're crossing over from 40 to 41 as far as real time. For those of you that don't have access to 1940 and 41 issues of Action Comics, first of all, why not? No, I'm kidding. The Golden Age, Superman in the Golden Age, I don't think they're quite omnibuses, but the compendiums, there's 5 of them that have come out so far. We are in the 3rd one. All 5 of these are available on Hoopla.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how often we had mentioned this in previous episodes, but with a library card and the fact that your library does subscribe to Hoopla. Now, that's the only catch, because my local library did not, but I went through a state library organization to get a card at their library because they do subscribe to Hoopla. So it's a subscription service. Somebody has to pay for it, because my point being, with a library card, you don't have to pay for it. You can go to Hoopla. You can download the book to a PC or an iPad, a tablet of some sort. You can have it for 3 weeks and read it. Of course, this isn't the only book, far from it, but that does make it available for free for those folks.
Yep.
If you want to follow along with us, we're about, I think this story is page 75 of like close to 300 pages in this issue.
Yeah.
So that gives you a rough, probably another 8 or 10 stories that we'll talk about will be available in this before we go to volume 4. So if you get volume 3, you'll be able to use it along with us for a little while moving forward before you have to go to the next book. Now, I haven't heard, unless I've just completely missed it, any information about an issue 6 of this book. So I don't know if they're going to keep doing this in this format or who knows. They seem to change willy-nilly, they being both DC and Marvel, when it comes to collecting this really old stuff and what format and when it's available. And but right now there's 5. We're halfway through the middle one. So we're right about halfway through what we'll be able to use in the 5 books that have come out. download these, use them, Hoopla, free, keep up with us, fun reads.
Yep, that's what I'm using. Well, I don't use Hoopla. I loved Hoopla, but my library stopped subscribing to the program. But if you are a member of the DC app, you can, of course, read all these issues there. The advantage of reading them through the trade, though, is that you get them, obviously, in order, which if you're just talking about Action Comics, of course, that's not difficult. You just go numerically through the series. But you also have to know when the Superman issues come in as well. And that's when, if you don't have a trade, you have to go to some third party website like a Mike's Amazing World to find out when the release dates are. But so that's the advantage of using a trade like this, which I've really enjoyed reading from. So when we talk about the tropes that are repeated over and over in a lot of these stories, the one that you of course are obsessed with is the Superman hanging from his fingers from a ledge or a window or a roof.
I have my little counting chart here,
which he didn't do in this issue, but there is a two-letter word that I felt showed up quite often in this issue, and it's just the word "eh." So you're coming around here to spy, eh? They say it quite often in this issue, in this story. I didn't mark down how many occasions they said it. I tell you what, I was really kind of thrown through a loop when we met Francois Bernier, just because of the way he talked, really threw me off. Cause, let me get some examples of his speech, because when I first started reading this story, I felt it was a little boring. And then we get to a point where it kind of stops being boring. And that's when it's like, oh yeah, this is Action Comics in the '40s. But Francois Bernier, and I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his name. I don't know if they're trying to go for I don't know what kind of accent they're trying to go with him.
When I read it, between the name and what he's speaking, I thought it was some sort of, anglicized, broken, maybe French-Canadian kind of thing. Because for me, growing up when I did, 60s, 70s primarily, that was the stereotypical lumberjack, was a French-Canadian. Yep. You know, apparently there, even at that time, there were no lumberjacks in the U.S. They all had to come from Canada for whatever reason. I guess that's the only place to cut trees.
Talking about the Pacific Northwest, that's where they're right there on the border. So,
well, I will say that in southern West Virginia, I am familiar with the fact that West Virginia has lumberjacks as well, because we have competitions all through the state in the spring and fall. So, yeah. Well, because we have several different national forests, I guess. And those types of occupations, I guess, are used to maintain and whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I heard and kind of saw the anglicized dare I say, bastardized French Canadian kind of thing is what they were going for. A couple boys from Cleveland, Ohio, I guess they could, you know, it could be an easy snatch for them to describe somebody like this. Yeah. They would have seen that.
The Superman Super Show will return after these messages.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
And now back to the Superman Super Show.
Well, I think the thing that's funny about it is, so let me quickly just read the first time Bernier talks to his lackey, Cliff, about Superman or about Clark and Lois. This is just a couple pages in. Clark and Lois have just arrived at the lumber camp. Clark is trying to, you know, he's posing as somebody who's trying to get a job as a lumberjack. And of course, he's in a suit without a tie, but he's got a sweater vest on.
And a jacket.
He
looks the lumberjack part, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. And Lois, wearing a beret, is there to get a job as a cook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
But okay. So what Bernier is saying to Cliff is, I don't like the look of them. I think somebody sent them up here to spy on me, or spy on me and the camp. But the way it's written is, Cliff, I don't like the look of them. I think somebody send them up here to spy on me and the camp. And the lack, L-A-K for like, the thing that threw me the most about this is there are a couple of other occasions within this story where he says like, L-I-K-E. So an editor either wasn't doing their job maybe Bernier is starting to lose his accent every once in a while. I'm trying to think of the word. He's becoming more American every day.
There you go. Yep.
But at first I thought, what are they trying to do here? The first thing he says, his first word bubble is when he's talking to Clark. You want jobs, hey? What you do? You ain't lumberjack. And I'm like, what is this guy supposed to be, just dumb?
Yeah.
you know? And it isn't until he starts saying day and dem and tink for think. It's, oh, okay. He's obviously got some kind of French Canadian type accent that he's, I was leaning more towards Creole. That's what it made me think of. But, you know, Creole has got its roots in French.
It does have an early 90s Remy LeBeau kind of feel to it. As written by, I guess that would have been Chris Claremont. So yeah, it feels like that, but it is different enough that it's like, well, no, I don't think that's what they're doing. But yeah, it put me in mind of that as well.
And he's telling Cliff he thinks these two people are spies because Clark obviously does not look like a lumberjack. And he tells Cliff,
I don't think Lois looks like a cook either.
No. Yeah. She totally looks like a sophisticated city girl trying to look like a lumber mill cook. That's, you know, with the outfit
and the beret. I don't think the beret was enough to get her over the top.
So he tells Cliff that he wants Cliff to take her out in the boat, which he's done before, and jump her overboard and kill her. And Cliff doesn't want to do that. He's tired of killing. He doesn't like it. And so Bernier threatens to break both his arms. There's a like right there. Do like I say, or I break both arms. And yeah, he just, the way his speech patterns just go back and forth between, you know, a French Canadian struggling with the English language and just someone who's not very bright. You know, he that one panel where he's telling him, do like I say, or I break both arms, just makes me think of your typical brainless thug.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe that's all he was intended to be. He didn't have to be bright because he was just muscle. And I don't know, I guess because it was at a lumber camp, he had to have an accent. I don't know. Cause Cliff doesn't, and neither does Brett Hall.
No.
Although with the name Brett Hall, I mean, with the name Francois Bernier, you kind of get the feeling that, he probably will have an accent, particularly in fiction, you know, whereas somebody like Brett Hall, well, no, he works right across the hall from Clark. So he doesn't have, you know, so it's like, okay.
Brett Hall is too similar to Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart. I don't know a lot about wrestling, but I did watch a lot of it in the 80s.
Okay.
So I know who the Hitman is. Cliff takes, he takes Lois out in the boat for a sightseeing trip. And there's like a whirlpool, like a permanent whirlpool out there in the middle of the lake that he dumps her into.
I don't know, the lake or in the river that they cry or whatever this body of water is. It's like, is it really big enough to have a whirlpool? Okay.
Yeah. And then, we get this great scene between Francois and Clark, and Francois wants to see Clark do his thing as a lumberjack. So he has him split some wood, and Clark takes off his suit jacket, and now I thought it was a sweater vest. It's not a sweater vest. It's a full sweater.
Yeah, it's a full sweater. Yeah.
And so he's he's there in his slacks and his sweater and his collared white shirt underneath the sweater, splitting logs. And of course, he has to have that moment where he has to act like he's struggling at it. But he's thinking to himself, I could do this job in 1 second flat. But the thing to do right now is pretend great effort. Good job, Superman.
Yep, absolutely right. Got to hold back.
The scene where Cliff dumps Lois into the whirlpool, it's pretty brutal because he smacks her on the back of the head with a wrench or a crowbar. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I think it's supposed to be a wrench.
Looks like a combination there. Yeah.
Right. And I thought Lois was done for because she goes in the water. She's in the whirlpool.
She's under. She goes under. Yeah. And it's, you know, you've got at least two panels on this page, and then it switches back to Superman, Clark.
Yeah.
So, and you don't, there's no indication of this, but it has to have gone back to before some of those Lois scenes to catch us up with what's been going on with Kent.
Yeah. Cause he hears her scream.
Right. Yeah. Which obviously has to happen before she goes underwater, which was the last time we saw her. So, yeah.
And so he doesn't even try to think of some clever ruse to get away from Bernier to go save her. He just says, I thought I heard a scream for help from the river. So yeah, that is a river with a whirlpool.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And Bernier's like, never mind, you get back to work. And Clark's like, something's happened to Lois. I'm going to go find out what it is. And he runs away, changes into the Superman costume. He officially will not fly until Superman number 10, but come on, he's jumping up into the air saying up, up and away.
He's somehow over the world. Yeah, he's exactly. Hovering. He's hovering.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't know where she is. He knows she's on the river, but he doesn't know where on the river. And yet he happens to jump so that the apex of his jump starts to arc downward right above the whirlpool. I don't think so. Superman creators, he is flying.
Is this the first time that we see him say up, up and away?
Have you know, I don't know. Billy D just joined the live stream.
Billy D. Hey, what's up, dog?
Billy D. Hey, hey.
I feel like he may have said it that often yet.
No. But I feel like maybe he said it once in a previous issue, but I don't. You know, it's been over a year since we've talked about these issues, so I don't remember.
Yeah.
But
it's not come up very often.
No.
Billy D says, good to be back talking about Superman, man.
Yeah. Billy D says, good to see you guys back. It's good to be back, Billy. And you know what? I'm going to speak for Ed here and say that we did it just for you.
Yes, Billy.
Just for you, Billy D.
This one's for you, boo.
If I had a beer, I'd hold it up. This one's for you. Here's to good times. Tonight is kind of special. Which beer was that?
Bud Light. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't do beer commercial. They don't sink in. So
no, the one that has always stuck with me is Hams, the beer refreshing. Hams, the beer refreshing. Hams. You don't know that one?
It doesn't.
That's 70s or 80s.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember how the jingle starts. It's something about cool waters, and you know, because the beer is always produced by cool spring waters, right? It's not a beer unless you're actually getting the water from a spring,
from an icy mountain spring.
So back to the issue.
So Superman can't fly yet, but he can hover.
Yes,
I guess we're taking steps to
he can
being able to fly.
Yeah, he can hover, and in mid leap he can stop and drop.
Right. Change direction and momentum and all that.
Everybody has done that. We've jumped up in the air and then we've just changed our body language and landed where we wanted to land.
All the time, particularly when we realize after we have jumped that it's not going to end like we had thought.
Right.
We just change it up and we do something different. And
that's what Bugs Bunny taught me.
Yep. This is kind of a really quick retcon here in this one panel, the left-hand bottom page, where he is over top of Lois, seeing her.
Yeah.
Because, again, the previous page, we saw her go under completely.
Yep.
But now Superman is there in time to see her go under because he sees her in the center of the whirlpool on panel left and then panel right. She has continued her descent fully into the whirlpool and is completely submerged, which was the last way we saw her, the last time we saw her.
But this is how we know that he is hovering, because if we go back to that previous page and we look at the progression of panels, so in the second panel, Lois is getting hit in the back of the head by the wrench. Yes. She's being pushed out of the boat in the third panel. And so in the fourth panel, she's in the middle of the whirlpool. Now, if we take what happens in the
Superman sees her?
Yes. If we take what happens in the second, in the next page, we have to then assume that in this fourth panel, Superman is up above in the sky looking down at her. And he's up there long enough that we see Lois go under and we see Cliff in the boat say, "It weren't as bad as I thought it'd be. Maybe Bernier will let me try it again with the other fella." So let me just mention that real quick. Cliff goes from, "I can't kill any more people, it weighs on my soul," to then just, "Man, I hope he lets me kill the other guy, because that was a lot of fun." He got the taste for killing so quickly with this one.
he does sound rather sociopathic here.
Yeah. But so in those three panels, Superman's just up there. He's just up there hanging out.
Well, and something that I was curious about moving forward now, if, like you say, I think I kind of made that connection flipping back and forth when I read it the first time. So at this point, these final two panels of page, I don't know, this is marked 7 on mine, so that must be he must have led off this issue of Action Comics. He's diving down into the whirlpool to get Lois. Well, very close by, off panel, should be Cliff in the boat, because he was in the Lois panel the page before. But moving forward in the story, Superman doesn't know how that. All he knows is Lois and where she is and everything like that. And I'm like, well, but the boat was right there and you had to have seen it because you were right here. And
well, let's no prize this scene then. So he jumps up there. He's hovering in midair. He sees Lois go down in the whirlpool, and he is either so concerned with what's happening to Lois that he doesn't notice the guy hanging out next to the whirlpool in the boat, or he sees him, but he doesn't have time to even clock who that guy is. He hangs out up there long enough for Cliff to then speed off in the boat, which again, he either just doesn't notice or he doesn't care because he's all about getting Lois, and he just striking that classic Superman flying pose. He dives into the whirlpool, and he gets Lois.
Both of those are rather un-Supermanly.
Yes.
If those are my two choices, both of those suck as far as explaining, and it would be okay if it kind of comes up that it did register. He just didn't do anything about it then.
Right.
He does something later.
Yeah.
But even that's not what happens. It's like he does not know moving forward with the story. And I'm like, well, your artist drew it so that he should know, right here in this panel. Yeah.
It completely speaks to the kind of way that they churned out these books in almost a factory-like way, because nowadays, you know, you think an editor would go, these two scenes don't really jive. Right. We need to do something about that.
Through it before the final checkoff on it.
So if they used editors back then, obviously this guy was like, screw it, we got to get this issue out. You know, kids don't think that hard. They don't care.
Kids are stupid. Yeah. So
they didn't know that 84, 85 years later, two guys in their 50s would be sitting down to nitpick every little thing in this story.
Nitpicking their stuff apart.
Yep. But we get almost an entire page of Superman in the water, grabbing Lois by her toes, is what it looks like. to get her out of the whirlpool.
Which she still has both of her shoes on too. Let's add that. So that's pretty impressive.
And why he has to mention that he can only use one hand, that's a level of detail I don't understand, because obviously they didn't care about Cliff in the boat, but they care enough for the reader to know that the reader's going to go, why didn't Superman grab a hold of her with both hands? Yeah. Oh, well, he needs that other hand to swim. The only way we're going to know that is if they say something about it in the story. So I don't understand the mind of the people putting this together at the time, but you know what, whatever. He's able to get free of the whirlpool's grip. And
I do like those panels of them underwater.
Yes. Very, very rainbow colory. I like them.
You definitely get the feeling of lots of motion in this static body of water.
Yes.
Either, you know, whether that is supposed to be the fact that they're in a whirlpool or they're trying to show that both Superman and Lois are moving, whatever the intention was then, I just like the way that it was taken care of by the artist in these three panels.
Yes, agreed. Very, it's a really groovy looking page, first of all, just color wise. And I don't know if those are the original colors used back then. I don't see why it wouldn't be, because it's not like they're doing anything.
Yeah, those seem like pretty basic colors that they would have had. Well, in the 40s, what would they would have had four colors? Or
I think just the four colors, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I think you could do this with four.
But, so he alighting back on the island, Superman lowers Lois gently to the ground. So not only can he hover, he can fall from the sky and alight
gently
instead of land like a stone
unto a feather.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing for a guy who can't fly yet.
Yep.
But he has enough time to change back into his Clark gear and dry himself off before Lois comes around.
Minus the jacket. He didn't put the jacket back.
Oh, no, no. He did he put the jacket? No, he ran off without the jacket.
So. Yeah. Yeah. He laid it over here where he was cutting wood. And yeah,
so that means he carries his civilian clothes with him unless he ran back.
To
where he changed out. Now, I know that at some point, and I feel like it was the 80s. I think I mentioned it during when I was talking about the Man of Steel mini over on the comic book show. But I seem to remember at some point this idea put forward that Superman has a pocket inside his cape.
Okay.
Where when he changes, he puts his clothes into this pocket in his cape. And so that he's always got them on him, which, you know, again, unless that pocket is a pocket to another dimension, I don't know how that works, especially with the shoes.
Who knows? That's, you know, maybe it's a pocket to the Phantom Zone, which
didn't
come up yet. But
exactly. But again, he wears a costume with a cape under his clothes. And red boots. I don't know. I've never understood how that worked. But.
And that doesn't show. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Comics. Yeah, we're being too nitpicky. Kids in the 40s wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, no, they didn't care. They loved it. I mean, that's why Superman got as big as he was, because nobody cared.
The Superman Super Show will return after these messages. And now, back to the Superman Super Show.
Well, I mean, plus, too, you gotta think. Nowadays, we wouldn't even be able to have a Superman because there are no telephone booths anymore for him to change into. He would not be able to exist now.
No, now I think he just moves so fast that.
I do a la the Flash, I guess. Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
Let me just say about the Flash real quick. I have always dug that idea that he has his costume folded up in that ring.
In his ring.
And the first time I realized that was what was happening, I don't know, I just thought that was so cool that it's compressed so small that it fits in the ring and then it just pops out and he moves so fast that he's just like, just taking it out of the air and putting it on within a fraction of a second. I just always thought that was cool.
Now, that does beg the question, well, What did he do with his other clothes? Did they go in the ring or? Yeah, I'm not sure there.
I think he's fast enough that he could have done that. Shoes and all.
But so that means they're made of the same material that the his suit is in order to be able to compress it into the a size to fit in a ring. Okay. All right.
Get some shoes like that.
I can go with a belt buckle. Let me. Yeah. He's got to do some wonders with metal in order to be able to do that. So.
So, all right. So Lois comes to, Clark's talking to her. She tells him that Cliff is the one that did it. He tells her to shush because Bernier is coming. Bernier sees them. What's the matter here? And freaking Cliff comes running up. The girl alive, but he couldn't be more guilty. And
not giving anything away there.
Yeah. So Bernier locks him up in a shack, which what's he gonna do here? Let me turn the page. Oh, they're setting the shack on fire and it's full of kegs of gunpowder.
Right.
So yeah.
So it's not a love shack.
No, not at all. See the little shack on the side of the road. Sorry, I had to do that. There. Cliff is pouring gasoline around the shack because Cliff is really into killing now. It's his favorite thing.
Yeah, he's gotten pretty bloodthirsty.
But of course, they have no idea that it's Superman they put in that shack. And Superman he's done it a couple of times before. He hypnotizes Lois so that she blacks out so that he can save her using his Superman powers and she won't realize that he's Superman, which is just a silly, silly, silly thing. Again, if I was Lois, regardless of the danger that always seems to crop up whenever I'm hanging out with Clark, the fact that I black out and go into fugue states a lot around Clark, I'd be a little worried about that guy, you know? We're just sitting in the car and suddenly I blacked out. And next thing I know, we're 6 miles down the road and Clark's buttoning up his shirt. I don't know what happened. You know?
Continually goes on a date and doesn't remember.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, come on. You got to put two and two together at some point.
But I don't know that. Yeah. He's hypnotizing her. He's saying your memory becoming a blank. You will not remember what ensues. And she says, I will not remember. And so he gets him out of the cabin, out of the shack before it blows up. And then he releases her from her trance. And she's doing the classic damsel pose with the back of her hand on her head. Oh. I can't remember a thing that happened after we were trapped in that shack. Where's Clark? Oh, she's about to have the vapors. So
he did get away soon enough from waking her up to when she was cognizant of her surroundings. There was no Superman there for her to see that he was involved with anything. So he's zipping around pretty fast.
So this then takes us to my favorite page in the book. While we don't have Superman hanging from any window ledges, we do have him just hanging out on a rooftop. And in classic fiction style, no one ever looks up, even in situations where, I'm sorry, the guy's got to notice that there's a dude on the roof. That building is not that big.
Right. It's not that tall.
The latest issue of Conan I talked about, I completely left a bit out that I meant to mention. Conan the Barbarian, issue number 29, he breaks into this dungeon. And at one point, he clings to this ring on the ceiling.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that people can walk by without seeing him. But the tunnel is not that tall. I don't understand how somebody can walk into a room and not notice a person clinging to the ceiling. I just I've never been able, I can suspend my disbelief and believe that a man can fly, but that stuff I just can't get past. But still, that's not my favorite part of this page. It's when Bernier goes into the building and there's Brett Hall at his desk in his suit and tie, wearing a Lone Ranger mask.
Yeah, I do not know what that was about.
That is the funniest. I mean, that's his version of a supervillain costume.
Okay.
He's trying to hide his identity. Obviously, it makes sense that it would be Brett Hall, but he's got that mask over his eyes. So I have no idea who that is. It'd be like if he was wearing glasses and then he took them off.
We see images at the very beginning in the same suit and everything. And no vestige of any mask or anything. He just looks like dude in a suit.
Yeah. And they don't mention the mask at all until Lois looks through the window and wonders if she could learn. She just wants to learn that masked man's identity. So when we go from, because that's the third panel on this page, when we go from Bernier in panel two, standing outside the office, and then Bernier standing in the office in panel three, and there's this guy at the desk in a suit and tie with a mask on, it is super creepy. I mean, I'm wondering, my immediate thought is there some like some eyes wide shut things going on here?
Maybe so.
I didn't immediately put together that this guy is hiding his identity even from Bernier. So
I didn't necessarily either. I don't know. Inking or, 80-year-old comics. I don't know what I thought. I noticed it because he kind of puts me in mind of like the Mole Man from Marvel Comics or, something like that. All of a sudden, dude is sitting there just doing the normal day-to-day stuff of running the lumber camp, of course, wearing the Lone Ranger or the Green Lantern kind of just over the eyes mask.
Yeah. Now, if he had gone into a secret lair and the guy was sitting on a throne with a tiger on each side of him,
yes,
that would have made perfect sense. But the fact that he's at a desk, he's doing paperwork, he's stapling, he's compiling, he's signing his name to stuff in a mask. It's super creepy. Yep. And of course, Lois creeps up to the shack, looks in the window, sees the guy, wants to know who he is. Cliff is just hanging out outside. I don't know if he's stalking Lois at this point because he wants to kill her again.
Yeah, really.
He loved killing her so much the first time, he wants to do it again. And he grabs her and he takes her into the shack. And this is where Brett, the masked man Hall, learns that Bernier and Cliff didn't actually kill either of the two spies. And so shoots them both point blank range. And Clark, Superman, the entire time, just is up on the roof letting it happen until Brett turns the gun onto Lois. He's getting ready to shoot Lois. I love this scene because then Superman just simply punches the top of the roof, making a board fall just at the right spot so that when he fires the gun, I was actually taken aback by this panel. I was shocked to see the bullet bounce off of wood, a bullet bouncing off of wood.
Yeah.
And just nailing Brett Hall in the freaking forehead. He basically just shot. They just showed him shooting himself in the forehead.
Yep.
I was completely taken aback by that.
In the next panel, you can't tell. They didn't draw any lingering effect. But in the previous panel, you can trace the bullet path and see. Yeah. Yeah, bounced off the wood and got him in the noggin, man.
Yeah.
And it killed him. Well, no, it doesn't kill him because he talks here. But yeah,
he's dying, though. They tell you that Lois removes the mask from the dying killer.
Right.
So, yeah. That's even so many amazing feats happen in this issue. And that's one of them. He shoots his bullet. It hits a piece of wood. And rather than going through the wood or sticking into the wood, because it's wood, it bounces off the wood, hits him in the forehead. So in essence, shooting himself in the forehead, he drops to the floor. The narration says that as the killer fires at Lois, the bullet rebounds from the falling beam and crashes back into his skull. But the guy not only doesn't die immediately, he has enough time and enough strength to make a speech and confess his crimes.
Yep.
That's bravo. Bravo, Mr. Siegel. You wrapped it all up in that one panel. Because God forbid Lois and Clark go, could he have been the one behind this? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he shot a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So silly. So silly. And it all because, I think we haven't yet mentioned the fact that for some reason, the guy who originally ran the mill, the lumber millionaire who died, he left all his money to create a boys' home. And was it his brother? Is that who Brett is? I think it's his brother.
His brother.
He wanted all the money for himself. We mentioned it in the synopsis, but yeah.
Yeah, so all the proceeds from having a lumber mill were supposed to go to the boy's home, but the brother said, no, I want it to go to my pocket. Also, speaking of the piece of lumber here that can fight off bullets, perhaps that is why they were in this area timbering to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this shack was made of the same wood, because it wouldn't have been there before, probably. This was built for lumbering. So they would have used materials there. And apparently this is some pretty dense wood.
How did they cut the trees down then?
Well, that's, yeah. Now that's, we have issues there with, yeah, I don't know. But
because we're not talking about a bullet that's fired from one end of the room, goes through the room into another room, and then bounces off of. I can buy that. That freaking piece of wood is an inch, maybe 2 inches from the barrel of the gun.
From the barrel of the gun when it's fired. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that wood is made of, but.
Yeah. And then we get the great last panel where we learn that this entire time, Lois, I didn't put it together until this last panel. Lois had no idea that Superman was even there the entire time. But she suspects it was probably him, that he probably had a hand in all this. And Clark's response is, I wish you'd stop mooning about Superman and think about me for a while. Wah, wah. And that's how it ends.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, Clark is pretty dashing if he wasn't such a coward.
Well, I don't think you can be both, man. I don't think you can be both.
Oh, there's a frickin' parade going on outside. What?
We are.
I hear we live on the main road of this town. This must be the it's territorial days today. Territorial day. You know how small towns always have the summer carnival?
Yes.
That's today.
That's today. Okay.
And I forgot that when they do that, they have a parade to start it all off. And we live on the main road. So we've always just been able to walk out, sit in our lawn and watch the parade go by.
Right.
And the last couple of years, we really haven't cared. But I hear the siren going. It's like, what in the hell is that? And I look up and here's a fire truck driving very slowly past the house. And I realize, oh, it's the parade.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell you a parade story real quick. One of our governors a couple of years back was not a good governor. And my wife did not like him at all. And he had a car in the parade that year. And my parents, for some reason, had come to watch the parade. I mean, my mom grew up in this town. So as the car goes by with the governor's name on it, my wife starts going, boo, boo. And my dad gets so embarrassed, especially after the parade, when we're still hanging out in the yard and the car comes back the other way and she starts doing it again. And he's like, okay, I have to go inside. I mean, he didn't like the guy either, but he was so embarrassed. It was the funniest thing. But yeah, so that's the lumber. The Lumber Millionaire's Will. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Like I said, it started out for me, it felt really boring. And then it really hit its stride when we got introduced to Bernier. And then when Brett Hall appears in his mask, it just, again, I wanted to applaud. Classic, classic Golden Age Superman story from this era, from this time period. I mean, it's they seem to go through these like, dips and dives as far as what they're doing. Right. But, you know, this is just basic crime that's happening. And that's a lot of their stories.
Fun. Yeah, just fun. The ending was kind of, you know, not as much fun for those guys. All three of them ended up shot. But I mean, I guess at this time, you're seeing that a lot on TV programs. Right, the 40s? Yeah, they would have had TV. Maybe not everybody. You're hearing it on the radio. You're seeing it in the movies, you know, people getting shot. Yeah. So it's not unknown even to kids. So
yeah.
I guess it's okay. But to me, it was just kind of like, wow, all three of them ended up shot, you know, one even in the head.
And
it's like,
yeah. And it all happened on that last page. I mean, it really just wrapped itself up super quick.
Yeah.
They all end up in the same room together. Brett Hall shoots two of them down, shoots himself on accident. He dies, wrapped up, done. Story's over.
Yeah. It was kind really of tidy. Cool. I mean,
yeah.
So, okay.
I mean, you've got, does that say, what page is that? Is that 10? Is this 10 pages? No, 13 pages. So you know, a lot happened, of course, but just like any of these stories, they pack a lot of stuff into those 13 pages. And so, of course, it's going to have moments where it just happens super fast.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for all the text. Otherwise, you'd have this story done in like a minute and a half.
Right.
If you didn't have to read all the text.
Yeah, really. It just.
But yeah, good one. I enjoyed this one. How about you?
Yes. Yes, very much. Good return to reading Golden Age Superman story.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't have asked for a better story to come back to. I would have been really disappointed if we would have got a crapper.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're back with a crappy story.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. All right. Anything else you want to say?
No, sir. I think I'm good.
Okay. I've kind of forgotten how to end these things because I don't have a lot of that in the notes. We're on Twitter, Super Show. All that stuff will be in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter. You can find Ed on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. We're all over the social internets and places. Steven or else, you can find me anywhere. Steven or else. Ed, you're usually under Teal Productions, under a lot of places, right?
Yep.
T-E-A-L Productions. S-T-E-E-V-E-N-O-R-R. It's all in the show notes. I shouldn't have to spell it.
It's because everything is spelled weird. So, I mean, you got to go look it up.
Yep. Exactly. But, So, until next week, folks, I'm Steven and that's Ed.
Bye, guys.
And this was the Superman Super Show. Bye.
Wow.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to the Superman Super Show at gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out stevenorelse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
Lowe's knows how to help make your Super Bowl 59 party a touchdown. Let us help you prep your home to host with top brands like Charbroil, Blackstone, and LG so you can be the MVP of game day. Plus, use the Lowe's app to find what you need for a seamless shopping run. Or huddle up with our Lowe's Red Vest associates to help make all your game time hosting decisions.